Welcome to Red Eye. It's like Finding Nemo. If by finding, you mean stir-frying. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for our pregame report. Andy, what's coming up on tonight's show?
Thanks, Greg. Coming up on the big show tonight, will global warming lead to a world dominated by giant lobsters? Probably not, but it's fun to say. Mm-hmm. Plus, Tiger Woods ads have disappeared from your television set. Some say it's totally understandable, but others somehow find a way to blame it on global warming. And finally, MTV staff members say they're getting death threats over the show Jersey Shore. We'll investigate whether there are better ways for Italians to overcome the stereotype that they're all in the mafia. Greg?
Thank you, Andy.
I'm from the hellhole, the total opposite of Melrose. It's where the homies get the money through the steel doughs. If you don't know me, I suggest you ask your kinfolk. Greg?
So, Andy, have you gotten a little Christmas tree for your cats yet?
I sure haven't, Greg. Jewish.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. See you later. Let's welcome our guest. She's the sexiest skirt of the news alert. I'm here tonight with Fox News Channel anchor Lauren Savant. She's so hot, just a glimpse from her kills a polar bear. But who cares? They're a nuisance, people. He's funnier than a kick in the face by a fat man. Jesse Joyce, writer and comedian. He knows deprecation like I know flatulation. And I've seen doctors, and it's pointless. And he's the spaghetti to my meatball, the peanut butter to my jelly, the bubble to my wrap. Yes, it's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. He'll wag his tail when you rub his belly, and vice versa. And he's the Mr. T of Liberty. Sitting right next to me is Nick Gillespie. Oh, it all rhymes. From Reason.TV and Reason.com's editor-in-chief. He knows free minds like I know pork rinds. They're rinderific. And if you cut them to pieces and feed them to goats, if you could, had or did have a goat. Don't know what I'm saying right now. You hungry?
Anyway, check out columnist Gail Collins and David Brooks interview each other on my website. It made this NYT LMAFO. I believe that's accurate, Greg.
I think it is.
Kids are into the acronyms.
All right.
Read me.
Will lobsters someday boil us? That certainly could happen in the future if the future turns out to happen that way. According to scientists who know such things, these creepy crustaceans, man, that'd be supersized in the future. And it's all thanks to, what else? Global warming. Well, is it terrifying or delicious or both? Who knows? But what's really terrifying, the hysterical short film that opened the climate conference in Copenhagen. Watch and panic, watch and panickers. It taught her to be like an Olympic athlete. She could run, she could jump, she was doing pull-ups. Come on, anyway, it's a scary future indeed, with mega storms and polar bears swallowing earthquakes, sad children, and oh yeah, giant man-eating lobsters. It's true, people. Scientists say they will grow jumbo size thanks to more acidic oceans, a consequence of rising atmospheric CO2 levels. We asked the lobster Ruddy McClawhands for his response to the views or news.
This is a very alarming trend, and it angers and concerns me that human beings do not care about the planet. Oh, who am I f***ing kidding? I want to be f***ing huge. Once we're f***ing big, we're going to f***ing eat you, you f***. Go f*** yourself, you f***ing faces.
Lobsters have to be so profane, Nick.
Kobe wasn't moving his mouth. Yeah. I did not see him moving his mouth on
They
that.
Don't have mouths.
Suspect.
They don't have mouths. Hey, Nick, this
don't
is...
lobsters, I thought they speak with a Canadian accent.
I think I don't they... Know, maybe it's I have no idea.
I think the real problem is not the giant lobsters, but where are we going to find pots big enough to have drawn butter in?
That's true. That's true. But we may end up being in those pots.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you make? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, well, now you did. What did you make of the video? Did it open your eyes to the catastrophic effects of global warming?
Yeah, you know, a world without polar bears is like a world without sunshine or orange juice. Yeah. I wish that the girl had stuck the landing. I would have given her a perfect 10.
That was amazing. It was a, Lauren, I have a feeling you don't see the consequences like a super large lobster as necessarily a bad thing.
No, where's the downside? Yeah. Giant lobsters. And by the way, I haven't worn gloves or a hat this whole winter. So far, I love global warming. And by the way, that end of days video that they just showed, I mean, didn't they threaten the same thing with Y2K?
That is true.
That didn't turn out to be so dangerous.
Good point.
It is a good
song. Man-made.
It was. Y2K was man-made.
It was man-made in both its fear and the fact that it didn't produce anything. It was both man-made and
it was disappointing. It was absolutely disappointing.
Vesuvius. Was that all a hoax as well?
Oh, of course it was. Oh, okay. Just like the moon landing.
Wait, is that the Italian guy that owns the deli down the street?
Yes, that's true. Believe me, he's made me erupt a number of times after having that sandwich. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jesse, what do you make of this? Why all this hysteria? Doesn't hysteria cause basically kind of a cynical backfire?
I think that it does. I mean, I hate to be the guy to bring this up one day after the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, but once again, we're behind the Japanese on this. The Japanese were warning us about giant lobsters in their crappy films in the 70s already.
Yes.
Like, next, the scientific community is going to come out and warn us that moths can breathe fire and are enormous. Like, yeah, we got it, Japanese. We know.
Yeah. I also love Mothra. I love Mothra.
Well, you know why they did that is because you get yourself a Lionel Train set and you throw a regular sized lobster at it and start filming, and then all of a sudden you have a giant lobster attacking.
Well, Bill, I've been meaning to ask you this for a number of years.
I bet you haven't. Go ahead.
What kind of creature would you like to see supersized?
Certainly a lobster. I'm a big seafood fan, and the more the merrier as far as the kind of meat I can get out of it. It's also bad for oysters and clams, and I love oysters and clams, so I'm sad about that. Still, the science is still out on whether or not it's going to affect Hot Pockets. That will be my deciding thing.
I tell you, global warming enlarged Hot Pockets, the world would be a better place.
But you're presuming that it would be a positive thing. What if they were more shriveled like a Raisin Pocket? Then I wouldn't be able to enjoy it, Greg. CO2 emissions could do many things.
But here's the thing. Global warming could make it so that the Hot Pocket, when you open it up, doesn't burn your mouth because it'll be hot all over.
If it's a lukewarm pocket, I quit.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Nick, you're the master of all things libertarian. The EPA is now saying that global warming is a health hazard, a health risk.
That the global greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? Do they actually believe it's a health risk?
I'm sure that I think the EPA believes everything is a health risk, but, you know, and I'm sure that they really believe it, but it just happens also to give them the ability to regulate virtually everything in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're in charge of a government agency, that's what you're looking for.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what the real problem is, and it's not global warming. What? It's bad parenting. What the hell was that girl doing out there in the middle of that desert without a guardian,
no
in the middle
on.
Of that maelstrom?
Yes.
Why wasn't she in school? Oh, you blame your car CO2s. It was bad parenting.
It really is. Jesse, last word on this topic. Do you think anything's going to come from this whole Copenhagen summit thingy?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's suspect to begin with. I mean, I got an advanced screening of that film about the future, and I didn't see. I've seen movies about the future already. I didn't see a single flying DeLorean anywhere.
Yeah.
Nor, you know, did that girl even seem mildly concerned about Terminator robots? I mean, what kind of a future are they trying to portray?
It's true. You know, the funny thing about the future is the robots will not be killing you. You'll be just crushed by incompetent robots. You know, the ones that you have at home,
they'll teeter over on you when they're trying to fill your gas tank.
Exactly. We're all going to die
badly
by clumsy.
Programmed.
It's going to be clumsy, not malicious robots. Trust me on that. This is a prediction from Greg Gutfeld. Okay, from growing lobsters to shrinking tigers. TV monitoring company Nielsen says that marketers have pulled all Tiger Woods ads from primetime television broadcast networks and 19 cable channels following the golfer's reported extramarital affairs. Haven't heard anything about this. According to Nielsen, the last primetime ad featuring Tiger was a Gillette spot that ran on November 29th. And Gatorade is discontinuing its Tiger Woods drink, Tiger Focus, but claims it has nothing to do with the Randy golfer's private life and everything to do with it tasting like cat urine.
Whoa.
I kid, it tastes better than cat urine. Not much, but close. Meanwhile, one late night host officially welcomed Tiger to the Cheating Man's Club.
Boy, it looks like that Tiger Woods is having some trouble, huh? You know what, I was thinking if this thing had happened 3 months ago, I'd have material for a year.
You got to admit, that was pretty smart. Pretty funny.
What? David Letterman sleeping with his staff?
Yeah.
Although, you know what? The underlying subtext is that he would do that if he hadn't gotten caught.
Yeah. Right.
So basically all the guys out there that haven't gotten caught yet, feel free to make fun of Tiger Woods, which is all of you.
I do think that Gillette should double down on the Best a Man Can Get series with Tiger Woods.
That's a fantastic idea.
You've slept with Tiger Woods, haven't you? Have you slept with Tiger Woods?
Not yet.
Have you driven with Tiger Woods?
I assume as soon as I get my cocktail licensing, that might happen.
There you go. Yeah, he's not going to hit on you, we found out, unless you make under $10 an hour. It's just a fact. Hey, Jesse, can you blame these sponsors for leaving him?
No. You know what? I like Lauren's chutzpah, too, by the way, that not yet. That's impressive.
Yes.
It's very go-gettery of you. I think they're missing the point, because Tiger is a very effective spokesperson. He's just advertising the wrong products these days. You know, I think Tiger should start doing ads for, like, caller ID or divorce lawyers or the Tiger Woods luxury studio apartments or, the De Beers 5-year sorry I nailed a bunch of waitresses tennis bracelet.
That is a nice idea.
Right? Yeah.
You know, Bill, Eugene Robinson, a writer for the Washington Post, thinks Tiger's real sin is that he wasn't diverse enough in the women he slept with. Now, you being a racist, do you agree with this?
Absolutely not. Some of them had highlights. Some of them were platinum. Some of them had Lee press-ons. Some of their nails were real, Greg. There was a whole across-the-board thing with these girls. Some of them were hostesses. Some of them were waitresses. Mm-hmm. You know, there were differences across the board. But also, don't weep for Tiger. I mean, look at Kobe. Everyone forgets that 4 years ago, the guy didn't just get caught cheating on his wife. He got caught with rape charges and technical virgin
style.
It
was one girl.
And he basically, for all we know. Not only did he get all of his advertisements back, including Nutella, the key Nutella brand, but he also is number one in the NBA for his jersey sold right now. People will forget as long as Tiger keeps producing.
And, Michael Vick, I think he's dating he's dating Kobe Bryant now as well.
Really?
Once he scored a touchdown, everybody cheered. But, I have a theory.
Roman Polanski under house arrest, and that's all he needs.
Yeah,
he
needs a house and a hot tub. Yeah. So everyone wins.
Do you think Gatorade's lying that they just pulled? It was a coincidence they were pulling it.
Oh yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Because what else could explain it?
Mm. Well, you could actually say, the reason that he was so randy was because of the electrolytes, and they don't want
that's
that.
True.
They do not need
true,
that kind of bad publicity.
Yeah. Here's my feeling: if you're a public figure, you make money being a public figure, so you should lose money when you're a bad
public
figure.
Why will he lose? Michael Phelps ended up bouncing back from smoking. Pot, as
that was nothing, though. Smoking pot was nothing.
Yeah, he wasn't.
By the way, he's not a real athlete. Swimming?
No, that's true.
Come on, no one takes that seriously.
It's not like golf.
What I don't understand is when these professional athletes screw up and, the infidelity comes out and the whole world knows, they always say they're going to buy their wife a giant gift. You know, he had made comments that he was going to buy his wife a big... Mm. What woman wants a sparkling reminder that her husband screwed every cocktail waitress and Perkins? I mean, why does that help the situation?
That's true.
You're wearing the necklace I got for you when I accidentally ran you over with my car, so clearly that didn't bother.
That's just the cheating.
True.
That's the car runner over necklace you've been telling me about. I like the symbolic wheels.
Pull tabs.
I think of that tragedy every time I wear.
Jesse, last word. Do you think that this whole thing with the sponsors is temporary, and he'll like everybody else, he'll just get back to what he's doing in about a year?
I think probably, yeah. And I guess not to keep pointing out things that Lauren said, but I'm thrilled to know that Perkins is now serving cocktails.
Yeah. That's good to know. The other thing, I want to go back just to the people that he had sex with. My theory is women wouldn't be so angry with him if he had more sympathetic lovers. Like if they were overweight.
Wait, who's angry? We know his wife is angry with him. I mean, America seems to take a newfound interest in
that. Is
actually,
true.
I will say, the African American community was disappointed that none of his dalliances were with.
That was the Washington Post. That was Eugene Robinson said.
But
that.
Only the first 10 have come out.
Yeah. That's true.
It was just one person, but that's the African American community. According to Lauren, you make me sick to my stomach.
Will Chamberlain slept with thousands of people. This story's going to get bigger.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. From losing sponsors to losing the country, President Obama's job approval rating was at 47% in Monday's Gallup daily tracking poll, the lowest ever recorded for any president at this point in his term since the early 1500s.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't know. That's right. Both Bushes, Reagan, Carter, Ford, Nixon, Nixon, etc., all had better numbers than Obama does now. The only president he beat was a porcupine that accidentally assumed the presidency in 1993 for 10 minutes. Do you remember that, Bill?
I don't recall that. I feel like I'm on a different show right now.
White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs reacted to the poll numbers in his typical reasoned way, saying, quote, "You suck and Gallup is a poopy head."
Huh.
No, actually, he said, quote, and I'm not kidding, "I'm sure a six-year-old with a crayon could do something not unlike that." But Gallup editor-in-chief Frank Newport responded, "Gibbs said that if Gallup were his EKG, he would visit his doctor. Well, I think the doctor might ask him what's going on in his life that would cause his EKG to be fluctuating so much."
Well
ouch!
Played.
This is crazy.
Wordy and pointed.
Later, Gibbs responded by shooting Mr. Newport in the face with a pistol.
This again.
Totally unwarranted,
sure.
If you ask me. Nick, I got to ask you, you're a political mind. Yeah. How can Obama's numbers be so low when he has everybody in the press behind him?
How about this? Double-digit unemployment, stupid government policies, the threat of government health care, a stupid war in Afghanistan. I could go on.
You could go on.
But I'll choose not to. But I think the way that Gibbs is a terrible spokesman, but what he should be spinning at the nearest president with crappy approval ratings was Reagan.
Yeah.
So he should be spinning this as positively Reagan-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty simple math. Why didn't he do that?
Well, you know what? The fact is, the problem is they always go back to Lincoln first.
Yeah.
That's their issue. They always. I guarantee you somebody's going to go back to Lincoln. Bill, go back to Lincoln.
What, are they going to have him grow a beard? I don't follow. What's the end game?
He can pull that off.
He's terrible.
He's got the mole.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's a good point.
Hey, Jesse, I got to say, you know, Obama, he's great looking. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. He has terrific abs. How can we be against him?
Well, I think that this whole thing is suspect because, you know, it's unfair to say any president because Gallup's only been around since 1938.
Yeah.
You ever heard of William Henry Harrison? That dude was president for 1 month.
That's true.
That means by this point in his term, he had been dead for 9 months and 4 days.
But I don't think everybody was on board his policies at that point.
Yes, that's so true. Lauren, what do you make of this? Is it too soon to call an end to this presidency and his impeachment? Because you were saying that in the green room.
I don't recall that conversation, Greg. What I will say is I think every president always loves to say that they don't put much stake in these poll numbers. Let's face it. I mean, Bush had some troubled poll numbers, too, and they chose to ignore them as well. But I do not understand what Gibbs' metaphor really means. If the poll is an EKG and he's saying that if he had this EKG, he would go and see his doctor, that would imply that he trusts the EKG, which would negate his point, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little convoluted. He sort of lost me after the EKG.
But he also brought up kids. And he brought up, remember he yelled at that reporter the other day, calling him like, "You're just like my son." He's got a preoccupation with
He hates children.
Bill, how do you feel about Gibbs' hatred for children?
I don't like kids either, so we're in agreement on that one. Keep making fun of the little humans. That said, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff here. His is as bad as Truman's was. Truman's was at 49% at the same time. Now, Truman was the first one-termer, but he's also considered by many, looking back, to be one of our better presidents.
He won election.
Well, he won an election, but he took over after Roosevelt, so he had one election. It was like
a friend who whispers into your ear these crazy
thoughts. His name is Fax. Fax with an X. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yes. He's a lumberjack, isn't
he? He is.
Fax the lumberjack.
A space alien lumberjack.
We've got to move on. Coming up, Florence Henderson talks about her new career as an ultimate fighter. But first, what's the latest poop on Palin? I don't know, but one thing's for certain, I'm getting really confident at crocheting. So Joy Behar had Andrew Sullivan on her show to discuss Sarah Palin. And by discuss, I mean drag her through the mud by her ponytail. My favorite part was when Behar described Sarah's people as evil and nasty, right before they go evil and nasty on Palin, launching into a discussion of the hard-to-believe birth of Trig. Check it out, check-it-outers.
There are so many bizarre questions, including this extraordinary story of the birth of Trig, which is on any basis extraordinarily hard to believe. No one is 8 months pregnant, thousands of miles away from home, as she says, in a hotel room in Dallas.
Oh, yes.
With a special needs child, wakes up bolt upright in bed, has a strange sensation low in her belly, and tells the Anchorage Daily News that her water broke, and doesn't go to the hospital.
He's like that little thing you used to buy at gift shops, the guy that you could put the beard on and then take the
beard off.
Yeah, the metal filing.
Yeah. Of course, Sullivan isn't alleging a cover-up. He just can't believe Palin's story, meaning, of course he's alleging a cover-up. Whatever, the whole obsession makes me queasy, much in the way truthers, birthers, and Sullivan's bushy beard creeps me out, too. Anyway, Sullivan's dining out on this, and why shouldn't he? After all, he pretty much deserves the Strange New Respect Award. This award is typically given by the American Spectator to anyone on the right who then veers left. It's the easiest way to gain respect from the media. Slide over to their side, unbutton your shirt, and tell them, hey, you were right all along. Sadly, there's no such award for people who move from the left to the right, because to the media, that's career suicide. There won't be a welcoming party, no Joy Behar waiting there with bonbons and pit stains. Anyway, there's plenty to criticize Palin about. Me, I'm still miffed that she quit her job. But if you're going to obsess over sinister childbirths, it's time to get your fillings checked for radio transmitters. I did, and I was able to stop those messages from outer space telling me that griffins were stealing my unicorn stickers. It turns out a Pegasus was behind the whole thing, yes. Mm. And if you disagree with me, no doubt you're a racist. Nick, you were giggling throughout the whole thought there with him.
Because Bill, I was sitting on Bill's hand.
That's true. Do you think?
I'll never wash it.
Do you think Palin fever has replaced Bush derangement syndrome?
There is a real mystery about the miracle of birth, particularly through the vaginal canal. It's, you know, scientists are looking into this, and they'll probably have a definitive answer in a couple of years when the Hubble telescope gets back into focus. I just would only say I think that, you know, that segment is further proof that, as far as Joy Behar goes, 9/11 killed comedy for good.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. She was funny once. I must say, a long time ago. Hey, Jesse, aren't conspiracies of any kind just kind of weird?
Well, that's what I think is interesting, is I looked into this Andrew Sullivan character. He used to be a libertarian conservative, right?
Yeah.
Then he goes off the grid, he comes back, he's liberal, and he's spouting conspiracy theories. Does anybody else think that it's kind of ironic that he's now back and to the left? That was cleverly punny.
It really was. Hey, Lauren, is it me, or is the media just kind of jealous of Palin because they can't make... She's almost like competition. No matter what they say about her, no matter the awful things they say, she sells millions of books.
Right.
So it's kind of like they can't figure it out. They don't know what this creature is.
Well, I think either way, she sells. You know what I'm saying? People are just so obsessed with Palin, whether you love her or hate her. Mm. Even her haters are watching. They want to hear anything about her. So it's a win-win situation just by bringing her up, no matter what you're saying about her. But I think you do have a good point that you can move to the left from the right. But once you move to the right from the left... I mean, there are a lot of people in the entertainment industry that don't want people to know that, that they're conservative or they're to the right because they're afraid they won't get jobs in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is.
It is just the way it is. And it's all Bill's fault.
I don't follow.
You don't have to because we have to move on. Yes! Do you have a comment on this show? Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com. And to leave a voicemail on my direct line, call 212-462-5050. Still to come, the halftime report from TV's very own Andy Levy. He's a delightful guy. I got to tell you.
Now he sucks.
Tonight's Halftime Report is sponsored by Penny's, the unnecessary 1 cent copper-based coin prominently featuring Abraham Lincoln. Thanks, Penny's.
Hey, welcome back. Let's find out if we've gotten anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. So, Andy, what have you got for us?
I've got a bunch of things, Greg.
Oh, great.
I'm going to start with large lobsters.
I love that.
Yeah. You were screaming at Bill, lobsters don't have mouths. They don't have mouths.
Yes.
First of all, you sounded like Chuck Heston in Soylent Green.
Yes.
Second of all, they do have mouths.
Do they really?
Yeah.
And that one wasn't moving. Conspiracies.
Yep. Yep. Jesse, you mentioned that there was no flying DeLorean or female Terminator robot in that apocalyptic Copenhagen video.
Right.
My take on that was that those kids were all foreigners, so why am I supposed to care?
I guess that's a good point. But bringing up Soylent Green is another excellent example of a movie from the future. That girl didn't have to eat other little girls. think that's an excellent point.
Actually, we don't know that, Jesse, to be fair.
Mm. You're right. It was just a clip. So.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a trailer.
I don't know what goes on in other countries.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Bill, if Hot Pockets were giant size, those of us with dorm room size studio apartments wouldn't have room for microwaves big enough to make them.
So you're saying it would be a bad thing if I'm following
for people, for people like me, yes.
Okay.
For you, your palatial penthouse estate, it would be fine.
I don't like to talk about my palatial estate, but thank you for mentioning it.
Yes,
it would be a problem for my servants.
hey, Nick, now that the EPA wants to regulate carbon dioxide, I'm making up T-shirts that say, I didn't exhale.
All right. Well, put me down for a extra small on that. Women's cut, please.
You like a snap-away thong, don't you?
As long as it's all cotton.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Tiger Woods ads are pulled. First of all, as far as the Gatorade thing goes, Gatorade says it decided to discontinue Tiger Focus several months ago. And Beverage Digest, one of my favorite digests, reported the story the week of November 9th, which was well before Tiger's car crash and even before the National Enquirer published its first account of Woods' affair. So they're probably telling the truth.
I absolutely love Gatorade, but I hated that drink.
Mm-hmm.
Gatorade's my favorite drink. Don't like that drink.
Really?
Yeah. I'd throw that out there in case there's viewers at home who feel the same way about Gatorade.
Yeah. All right. Lucky for you, they're discontinuing it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nick, you said that Gillette should double down on its The Best a Man Can Get ads. I have an idea for a possible new Gillette ad. Tiger wakes up in a hospital bed after taking Ambien and Vicodin, and a beautiful nurse says to him, "That was a close shave." Then she rubs his face and says, "But not as close as that one."
Oh. And then they have sex.
What? Yeah.
Obviously. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, is this selling hospital beds?
Yeah.
What's that, Greg?
Is this selling hospital beds?
No, they're selling Ambien and Vicodin.
Oh, okay.
And also, to a lesser extent, sex with nurses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The thing is, you should have come up with something about shaving.
Yeah.
She rubs his face and says, "But not as close as that
could,
one."
Could you put it at a cheesecake? Could you put it at a cheesecake factory or someplace where he might actually pick up?
Yeah.
Monday's Gallup Daily Tracking Poll has Obama's approval rating at 47%. Couple quick points. Greg, you said this is the lowest approval rating ever recorded for any president at this point in his term since the 1500s.
Yes.
Actually, as Jesse alluded to, it's since 1938 when Gallup began doing presidential approval polls. Also, you said the only president he beat was a porcupine that accidentally assumed the presidency in 1993 for 10 minutes.
Yes.
It was actually 1981, and that porcupine was actually General Alexander Haig.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. And it was no accident.
Exactly. Exactly. Lauren, you mentioned that Bush also had some troubled poll numbers. And, Bill, you mentioned that W's approval rating at this point in his presidency was actually 86%. I'm going to go ahead and guess that might have had something to do with it being a couple of months after 9/11.
I think that was guessed by all.
No, I think it's like the Gatorade Tiger Focus. It's just a coincidence.
Perhaps.
By the way, Tuesday's Gallup Daily Tracking Poll showed Obama's approval rating up 3 points to 50%, so Gibbs might actually have a point for once. And lastly, Greg Alog, Joy Behar, and Andrew Sullivan. Oh, Greg, you said there's plenty to criticize Palin about. Rhino. Also, I think you smeared Andrew Sullivan unfairly. He said to Behar about the birth of Trigg, quote, "I've gone out of my mind trying to understand the story." You have to give him credit for being honest about
that. That is true.
I am done.
You are done.
Yes, I am.
You are. Hey, can we go to a full screen of Andy? Full screen of Andy. Jesse, can you wave? Yeah, there he is.
Can you see
him?
We're breaking down the fourth wall.
There we go. Yeah. All right, let me welcome back our guest.
Been lifted.
Lauren Savon, Fox News Channel anchor. She's so hot that Smokey the Bear has her on his watch list, the pervert. Jesse Joyce, writer and comedian. He's funnier than a mime wearing oversized shoes composed of clown skin. And Nick Gillespie, Reason.com TV and Reason.com editor-in-chief. He knows free trade like I know Old Maid. It's my favorite game, people. I play it against my pet ferret, Captain Nibbles.
Oh.
All right. So while ratings for the premiere of Jersey Shore were fab, not everyone loves the show about dudes who bare their abs. Oh, that was good. In fact, some of opposite of love it.
Ooh.
It means
what?
Hate. They hate it.
That was a lot of words for something simple.
It really was. Yeah. And now staffers at MTV are even getting death threats. I think they deserve it, even just for working on
MTV. You're getting it before the show, yeah.
Said one source at the network, The MTV building in Times Square was getting crazy threats, and they're in the process of hiring more security and bodyguards. The controversial show follows a group of folks who describes themselves as Guidos and Guidettes, who share a summer house, and it's enraged Italian-American groups. Probably because the Sundance scamps act like this.
There are a couple haters at the club. I pretty much blew a kiss to him. I said, yeah, you know, come get some. And he started walking over.
Get up there.
Then all of a sudden, one of the clowns pushes Vinny, and I snap.
You got on TV.
My ultimate dream is to move to Jersey, find a nice, juice, hot, tan guy, and live my life.
I left the club early because I didn't want to cheat on my boyfriend. And I felt like eating ham and drinking water. Ham.
How can you not want to love them and kill them at the same time? Greatest show outside of Red Eye, of course, on TV today. Nick, I go to you. Yeah. I don't see this as an Italian thing. I see this as a wonderfully idiotic thing. Isn't it a problem if Italian groups think this show is about Italians?
I can't believe you're attacking me like this. And I want to point out, as somebody who grew up on the Jersey Shore, where we called it the beach, actually, my mother, who was Italian, her last name was Guida. It's not Guidette, it's Guidos and Guidas, at least in my family. But I think these are the great Americans. And,
yes.
There's no reason to be killing people over this.
No, I think you're absolutely right. That's a very sober approach to this.
Thank you. I've been sober for almost a week now.
That's great. Hey, Jesse, I like this show because these people are these people living in the house are blissfully unaware of stereotypes. It's just that, like, for example, they love the tanning. They love the working out. They love that stuff. So what's wrong with it?
Well, the irony, it makes my head want to explode, that the Italian-American groups are concerned about this, so they threaten to whack MTV executives. Like, way to rise above. Like, here's the thing, is like, as an Irish-American, I feel like that's why we win, right? Because the Irish and the Italians are two groups that have always kind of had a thing with each other, and at least our stereotype is true. Like, yes, we're all drunks. Like, sure, we're argumentative. Like, yeah, we talk too much. Like, guilty. The Italian stereotype is always based on, like, characters in movies. Like, you saw that Scarface and the Goodfellas and whatever. Like, Cadillacs and windbreakers are not from Italy. Furthermore, they never focus on positives in Italian culture. Like, I had two Italian roommates. Neither of them had Da Vinci's helicopter schematics on their wall. Both had a poster of Joe Pesci beating someone to death in a cornfield with a bat.
You know, one sign of, and I say this as half Irish, Jesse is a drunk Irishman. The stereotype is true. But it is pathetic that an Italian-American would have a Scarface poster on the wall where it's Al Pacino playing a Cuban gangster based on The Godfather. It's very confusing.
Well, Lauren, is MTV exploiting or exposing them?
They signed up for this. I don't think that they think they're being portrayed any differently than they are in real life. Are they exploiting them? I mean, that's what MTV does. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Did anyone catch the Flava Flav years? I mean, you think those girls were an embarrassment to their families,
that
too?
That is true. Very good.
I don't know what they're so up in arms
Bill,
about.
Bill, you're an embarrassment to your family. Do you think these death threats are just a bunch of BS that didn't happen?
I think the death threats are them. They saw the first three episodes and like, oh boy, let's use a different number because you know MTV traces. And they just started calling Viacom left and right. But I'm mistakenly getting Moose and Telltale DNA fingerprints on the phone. But I used to have a Jersey Shore place, or I'm sorry, the beach, at Point Pleasant for 4 years running. And yes, the stereotypes are true, but they're also awesome.
Yeah.
I loved walking down the boardwalk and my wife beat her. I loved putting so much gel in my hair, it was bulletproof. I loved having so many gold chains on me, great, I was bottom heavy. I loved all this stuff, and I'm not Italian. It's across the board in the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just Italian.
All right, I've got to move on, my strange little friend. After the break, I unveil my latest spoken word joint, Dancing in the Color of Love.
Oh.
And some otherness. Why can't we show you this person's face? If you have to ask, you know nothing about teases. Or tonsils, for that matter. Non-tonsil knower. My next guest wrote a book which is kind of cool. But he also worked on Blind Date, possibly the greatest reality show of all time. I'm having him on to talk about his book detailing his higher education during the most awesome decade ever, the 80s. But I really want to talk about Blind Date. I don't care about his book. This was all a ruse. I kid. Anyway, his book is called Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost, a memoir of a Hampshire college in the twilight of the 80s. We're delighted to have the author, Richard Rushfield. He's also West Coast editor of Gawker and a contributing editor of Vanity Fair. He knows saucy tales like I know humpback whales. It's true. I can't get enough of those crazy beasts. I got to ask you, Richard, your book has been called Lord of the Flies with 19-year-olds. Is that because it takes place on an island?
Yes, an island in the middle of the woods in the mountains.
There you go.
It's a tale of some very nice young rich kids who get together at a college in Western Massachusetts and do nothing for a few years and then all turn on each other and try to kill each other.
Really? Yeah. Did this really happen?
This is every word is true.
Yes.
Even the parts they made up.
No. Yeah. You mentioned that there's a lot of people sitting around in the couch going in the middle of nowhere. Why would somebody want to read that?
This was a tumultuous time. I write about it. It was at the hangover of the me decade, hangover after the 60s or the 70s, and there was the rise of political correctness. And what we did in those days, we invented something that the world's come to call slacking, which is perhaps the most important statement, the most important commentary that people can make in the face of people getting all excited about big issues.
Just not doing anything.
we made our stand there on that couch.
Exactly. You know what? I prefer people who lie about instead of march. Marching activism makes me sick to my stomach. Mm. And so I actually appreciate slacker culture. Yeah. You were at school 20 years ago when the Berlin Wall came down. What was the reaction at the school or amongst your friends?
Everyone rushed into the quad and kissed nurses and shouted, "We won, we won," of course. Subdued excitement, I would say. A lot of concern that the people of East Germany were going to find that... That life with the West was not all that they had banked on, that paradise was not going to come along. And
so they were sad. They were sad. These students were sad that the wall came down. That's what you're saying. These are wonderful people. They should have killed each other, Richard.
Exactly.
They should have killed each other. All right, I got to talk to you about Blind Date.
Yes.
For some people who may not remember this, can you explain it briefly what it was? Or I can do it, or whatever you go for.
Blind Date was one of the most, as you say, one of the most important shows in reality. It showed the crucial struggle of our time when a strange man and woman meet and in front of a bunch of cameras are forced to decide whether they want to have sex with each other.
Yeah. What was the strangest, weirdest thing that happened on that show? Or can you think of any?
Every moment of these people with camera on them figuring out whether they wanted to have sex with each other. The strangest thing was I guess men's reaction of how they deal with nervousness in these situations and trying to impress women, which is generally get drunk and insult her and yell belligerent things at her.
It was great. It would start out promising. It was a blind date thing where the woman and guy would meet. It would start out promising, and then as the alcohol was applied, the guy would get angry, the girl would get kind of wicked and mean or think she's a mermaid. I remember that one. And then all of a sudden the captions would show up, and the captions were brilliantly written.
Thank you very much.
And it was so much fun. Did anything ever turn to violence at some point?
I remember people taking it out on patio furniture, certainly. Certainly got angry. But the important message, I think, for women to take away is that you can, if you're a woman, you can do whatever you want on a date. You can have any sort of obnoxious behavior. You can be repulsive. Whatever you choose to do, and the guy will still want to get it on with you.
That's true. Even all the way 99% of the date, you could just treat the guy horribly, but if there's that tiny glimmer, if the doors just open a little bit, a guy will still humiliate himself and hang out in front of your door as the door shuts. That's what I loved about that show. So great. I'm ashamed it's not on anymore, and sometimes I cry myself to sleep.
How can it be on when Tiger is taking all of those women?
That's true. I think Blind Date did more to expand the knowledge of chlamydia chlamydia than any education you can ever find in any school. Okay, we got to move on. Richard, thanks so much. The book is Don't Follow Me, I'm Lost, a memoir of Hampshire College in the twilight of the 80s. I screwed that up earlier. Coming up next, voicemail. That's exciting, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. For the visually impaired viewers, that's a Michael Jackson painting featuring boy cherubs placing garlands in his hair. It's one of several life-size portraits the King of Pop commissioned over the years. They were revealed last week in a book about his life. Whoa, what's that sound I hear? Oh, it's America throwing up. They're throwing up because that picture's creepy.
Really?
Yeah. That's a creepy picture. That's why they were throwing up.
Swine flu.
You're not throwing up when you see that picture. There's something wrong with you.
Uh-oh.
Go see a doctor. All right. It's time for messages for Greg. So kick back, relax, and feast your eyes on a delightful transformation as we bathe your ears with warm, soapy words.
Hey, Greg. I was just wondering. I think it would have made more sense that instead of NASA crashing the satellite into the moon, it probably would have been better off if they crashed it into your forehead to see if there was water inside the crease right above your nose.
Greg, your buddy Ellie from up the river. Listen, just wanted to tell you how therapeutic this phone line is for me. And Essie Cup is my deer-killing goddess. I love animals, so I hate killing them, and I love guns. But anyway, maybe she can just teach me how to hunt or something. I would kill a buck for her.
Hey, Bill. It's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. I need you to take your name off of your phone voicemail.
Thaddeus McCotter? More like Thaddeus McHotter. Woof.
Greg, could you please get Bill to wash his face? I think he's going for the Johnny Depp look, but he kind of looks like Adam and Yanni.
Greg, it's Blake in California, and I despise going to the movie theaters, too. And I also think Andy Levy is special.
Hey, Greg, it's Anne. It's my birthday today, and I just wanted to tell you for my birthday, you can have Bill shave his face.
He already did, so it doesn't really matter at this point.
Happy birthday.
Anyway. Hey, you know what you can do? You can keep calling me on my direct line. It's really simple. 212-462-5050. I like it when I talk in the box. Anyway, we'll close things out with the post-game wrap. Hey, then they take it away. The post-game wrap-up from TV's Andy Levy coming up. And see clips of recent shows. Go to foxnews.com/Rodi. Anyway, it cleared up. Time to go back to TV's Andy Levy for the post-game wrap-up.
Thanks, Greg. Hey, Jesse, any upcoming appearances you want to plug?
Yeah, I got to say first, though, that I really think that you guys did that on purpose after I made the Italian stereotype comment that you had that Irish sea shanty music while that drunk leprechaun tugged at his beard. It was a little in my face.
Yeah.
But no, I do have an important appearance to plug. I'm going to be on Fox News on Red Eye next Wednesday, the 16th.
Wow.
It's going to be 3 in the morning Eastern or midnight West Coast. So.
Okay, great.
Wow.
Yeah, check that out.
I hear good things about that show.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Yeah, from my mother.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, what's this series of healthcare videos that Reason TV's been doing?
Well, we're trying to fix the various infections of your mother.
unnecessary.
It's pretty open-ended. I think we're going to be taking a run at Bonanza's 19-year run before we complete the series. But actually, what we're doing is we've got an ongoing series of healthcare videos that make the strange case that what works in the other 5/6 of the economy to produce better products at lower prices with better customer satisfaction might also work in healthcare.
Really?
So go to reason.tv and check them out.
So you're a bunch of slave-loving racists.
Yeah, with a very good medical plan.
I got to go, Andy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Jesse, always great. Lauren, wonderful. Bill, you stink. Nick, awesome. I'm Greg Gutfeld. Bye.